In 1962, Pan American World Airways wasn't just an airline. It was the embodiment of American glamour and possibility. As Frank Sinatra crooned, "Come Fly With Me," promising exotic adventures to faraway lands, two women from vastly different worlds prepared to don the coveted blue uniform that would change their lives forever. For Judy, a Pan Am stewardess position represented literal escape from an abusive husband. For Beverly Caldwell, daughter of Mr. Wall Street, it meant rebellion against the gilded cage of high society expectations. What neither woman anticipated was finding in each other the sister they never had, a friendship that would ultimately prove stronger than death itself. Judy sits nervously in Pan Am's New York office, clutching her father's cologne bottle. Her composed exterior masks terror. This interview represents escape from Henry, whose abuse has escalated from criticism to hidden bruises. She conceals her marital status, turning Pan Am's no-marriage policy into salvation. For 2 weeks after her interview, Judy endures Henry's violence while playing the perfect wife. When acceptance arrives, she seizes a moment when Henry is homesick to flee with hidden clothes and savings. Meanwhile, Beverly Caldwell rebels against privilege. Her Pan Am acceptance arrives alongside predictable social invitations, stark contrasts to her expected life path. Despite being groomed as Frederick Barr's perfect society wife, Beverly yearns for something beyond luxury. Looking in her mirror, she strengthens her resolve. Her blue blood runs red. During a hair appointment, her mother offers surprising support, admitting wealth feeds one kind of hunger while suppressing the hunger of your heart. When her furious father closes her accounts across New York, Beverly defiantly vows to become the best damned Pan Am stewardess that anyone has ever seen. The Pan Am training facility transforms both women through rigorous discipline. Instructor Joe Clayton demands mastery of aircraft terminology and emergency procedures. Appearance standards are exacting. Mandatory Persian melon lipstick, precise weight requirements, no glasses allowed. In Miami, Beverly surveys her 40 classmates from 13 countries, determined to avoid being among the 30% who fail. When their instructor explains that Pan Am's international service makes them part of the mission of permanent peace, Beverly glimpses purpose beyond becoming a society wife. The ditch exercises prove most grueling. In swimsuits, they struggle to inflate life vests while staying afloat, as instructor Dolores reminds them that in real emergencies, they'd battle waves and sharks while rescuing passengers with a Pan American smile. Throughout training, Judy and Beverly form an unlikely friendship. After tequila, Judy confesses she's married, and Beverly suggests a Mexican divorce. When their uniforms arrive, Beverly feels proud of her independent accomplishment, while for Judy, it represents newfound confidence after Henry's abuse. Both women are stepping into new identities, mirroring the 1960s shifts as women challenge traditional limitations. After graduation, Judy and Beverly share a Stuzu house in Burlingame near their San Francisco base. Their first flights bring both luxury experiences and personal revelations. Judy navigates the harrowing checkerboard landing at Hong Kong's Kai Tak Airport, approaching mountains before banking sharply between buildings close enough to see hanging laundry. In Hong Kong, she buys a purple dress, a color Henry had forbidden, feeling empowered by this simple choice. Beverly connects with Mark Oakley, a handsome swimmer who works with disabled children while maintaining professional boundaries. The Royal Hawaiian Hotel enchants her with its pink facade and pineapple-scented air. Beyond destinations, Beverly learns from her mother that her hairdresser, Sami, is actually her great-aunt, revealing previously unknown Filipino heritage, explaining her lifelong restlessness and connection to the other side of the world. Meanwhile, Judy develops feelings for Joe Clayton, who flies to San Francisco just to see her. When she confesses her marriage to Henry, Joe responds compassionately, "You're a brave woman," promising not to report her to Pan Am. Their friendship deepens during an unexpected detour to Moria after mechanical issues ground their plane in Tahiti. They escape to the neighboring island on a fisherman's boat, avoiding an overly flirtatious passenger. Moria emerges through morning mist like a painting, dramatic volcanic peaks reflected in waters shifting from indigo to turquoise. Their boatman Henri tells them there is no time in Moria, liberating them from their clockwork lives. On a secluded beach, Beverly transforms. The composed socialite kicks off her designer shoes, lets down her hair, and shares stories of her lonely childhood in a mansion full of servants but empty of love. Through tears, she tells Judy, "You're the sister I spent my whole life wishing for." They sample exotic fruits, and during a rambutan food fight, Beverly makes an unexpected request. "If anything happens to me, promise you'll bring me back here." Judy agrees, unaware of this promise's future significance. Moria becomes their emotional anchor, where Beverly sheds her society mask and Judy escapes her past, transforming their friendship into something sacred. The novel's most powerful moment comes when Beverly makes the ultimate sacrifice. When Judy's abusive ex-husband Henry tracks her down and manipulates his way onto their Philadelphia flight, Beverly recognizes the danger. She arranges for Judy to be detained at the gate while she boards Flight 214 to monitor Henry. As thunderstorms gather, the plane enters a holding pattern over Maryland. Lightning strikes the aircraft, igniting the fuel tanks and causing Flight 214 to crash on December 8, 1963, killing all 81 people aboard. Judy's grief and guilt prove overwhelming as she realizes Beverly took her place. Through therapy and Joe's support, she gradually begins to heal. Her marriage brings 4 children and 11 grandchildren, an entire family tree sprouting from Beverly's selfless choice. 2 years later, Judy returns to Pan Am with a special marriage waiver, dedicating herself to evacuating wounded troops and refugees from Vietnam, each life saved becoming a tribute to Beverly's memory. Decades later, elderly Judy visits Moria, fulfilling their dream. In a sunset ceremony, she scatters symbolic ashes, soil from the Pennsylvania crash site mixed with earth from every destination in Come Fly With Me, representing their unfulfilled travels. Beverly's brief life created lasting impact. Her parents found unity through grief. Mark channeled sorrow into an Olympic silver medal in her honor. Judy and Joe built a life commemorating Beverly through annual trips to Sinatra song destinations. These Pan Am girls were pioneers who expanded possibilities for women when options were limited. Their blue uniforms represented not just prestigious jobs, but pathways to independence in a restrictive era. As the symbolic ashes drift into Moria's turquoise waters, the circle completes. The island becomes Beverly's final resting place, a paradise where there is no time and friendship transcends death. By saving Judy's life, Beverly gave her not just years, but the gift of discovering that love is truly worth living and dying for.